The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
Now, the Taoiseach and Tánaiste are both to vote in favour of a Sinn Féin bill being proposed, which would see the removal of the mandatory 3-day wait period for women seeking abortion in the early stages of pregnancy. Sinn Féin's bill is to come before the Dáil tomorrow. It came after the Sóc Dems bill proposing abortion law changes was defeated in a Dáil vote in the last month. We'll be joined by Sinn Féin health spokesperson David Cunlan. But first off, let's go to Sean Defoe, our political correspondent. Sean, just bring us up to speed on this breaking story.
Yeah, so look, in the Dáil in the last hour or so, the Taoiseach was asked about this by Mary Lou McDonald and what his position would be, given that there is a free vote on the government benches in Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil about what they want to do. And as you mentioned, that Sóc Dem vote was defeated last month with the abstention of Sinn Féin as well. And he said that his personal view is that he is going to vote in favour of this legislation, allow it to go to committee stage. He did say that there will be the need for some pretty consequential amendments to it, that's the advice from the Attorney General, but not around the actual aim of it, which is to remove the 3-day waiting period, more around the sort of technicalities of how it's done. Tánaiste Simon Harris then followed up in a statement as well to say that there's a free vote in place tonight, that he will support the bill to remove the 3-day waiting period. That's his personal view and is reflective of the engagement he's had with women and medical professionals.
Does this mean it's now likely to pass? I know you said it would be a free vote for government deputies, but if Sinn Féin are backing it, I imagine the Sóc Dems and Labour TDs will enough government TDs back it for it to pass, do you think?
Yeah, I think they will get there. So you're probably, with Sinn Féin on board, I think you're talking up into the 60s, mid-60s, when you count in those who voted in favour of the Social Democrats bill last time around. And that bill had more in it. For example, there was further provisions around widening the access to abortion in cases of fetal abnormalities, and also decriminalisation for the doctors involved. That's why a lot of TDs didn't back it the last time around. And I think that, you know, the Taoiseach and Tánaiste are very much signalling to their backbenches here that, yeah, you have a free vote, but we are behind this. And I'd imagine they'll get enough vote to put it to committee stage, yeah.
Okay, Sean Defoe, our political correspondent, thank you indeed for that. Let's go to David Cunlan, Sinn Féin's health spokesperson. David, you voted against the Sóc Dems abortion bill, which would have done precisely this, done away with the 3-day waiting or cooling off period. Why did you vote against that when you're now bringing forward your own bill?
Well, first of all, Sinn Féin abstained on that particular bill, okay. And for this reason, because it went much further.
Sorry, my apologies. You didn't vote in favour of it.
Yes, so our bill is very straightforward, and it's a very targeted bill which does one thing and one thing only, which is to remove the mandatory 3-day wait. I will respond to the question that you put in relation to the Sóc Dem bill, because as Sean said, it dealt with a number of other issues, including changing the definition of fetal abnormality. And the problem with the Sóc Dem bill, as we saw it, was that it was too open-ended. It removed the reference to 28 days and didn't replace it with any time period. And we felt that was too problematic. We signalled that, and I set that out in our speech. But I also made it very clear in my contribution on the day that we had our own legislation on the removal of the 3-day wait. And for me, there was much more support and more consensus on moving forward on that issue. And what I want to see is the main recommendations of what was an independent review of the Act of 2018, specifically looking at barriers to access to care. And there was many recommendations, but I think the clearest of all of those recommendations was that this 3-day wait had a massive impact on some women. It made access harder, especially for women in difficult circumstances, Shane, and including victims of coercive control or domestic violence, victims of rape or sexual assault, women who found out they were pregnant maybe very close to the 12 weeks. So there was all sorts of problems and barriers which the 3-day wait has brought about. And bear in mind, it's a mandatory 3-day wait. And what we're removing here is the mandatory element of it. So if a woman obviously wants a second appointment, that can obviously still happen. But we're talking here about women who have made a decision, and women in certain circumstances and difficult circumstances,
okay,
in coercive relationships.
Okay, I've heard women, though, who are on the other side of the argument here, who say they're pro-choice. They say they voted yes back in 2018, but who are saying you know what, maybe it's not a bad thing to have a cooling off, a 3-day cooling off period. It's a very short period of time, and it actually maybe isn't a bad thing to have it. And also, that was what was put to the people in the referendum, and it maybe was one of the factors that persuaded centre ground people who maybe were uncomfortable with the idea about voting for abortion. That was part of the package, and now here we are just a few years later legislating to change that.
Well, first of all, I think that if any woman wants to wait, and if any woman wants a second appointment, I think that should be facilitated. So I have no problem at all.
Yeah,
that's slightly disingenuous now.
I mean,
with respect, it isn't disingenuous. And I'm mindful of the fact that we are two men talking about an issue.
I'm very conscious, and sorry, the argument, and I was very careful, can I just say, David, I respect women who I've been speaking to about this issue.
I'm only simply making a point that I don't believe that my point is in any way disingenuous, because I'm very mindful of the arguments which you have put forward by others, that obviously a woman has to come at this issue in their own time and in their own way. And if a woman wants to wait, of course the woman is entitled to wait. What we're talking about here is the mandatory element of that 3-day wait, which an independent review of the Act has said causes problem for victims of coercive control, of domestic violence, of rape or sexual assault.
A lot of people who were pro-choice didn't necessarily agree with that independent review, and they make the point that in lots of things in life you have a cooling off period to decide, and they're saying, what is the issue about waiting 3 days?
But I'm going back to the central point I'm making, Shane. I don't have a difficulty with a cooling off period if that's what any woman chooses. So if somebody wants to wait 3 days or a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks or longer,
I'm not sure people are going to voluntarily do that.
What about the point that, Shane, sorry, you finish your point and then I'll come back to you. With respect, I think in these instances we have to trust women to come at these issues in their own time. I've spoken to many, many women who've engaged with abortion services, and some do wait and some do come at this in their own time and will continue to do so, and I fully encourage that. I want people to make the right decision for them. It's not an easy decision for somebody to make. But in circumstances where a woman has made up her mind and has made a decision, I don't believe the mandatory element of the 3-day wait should be in place. Okay. But I'm more concerned about victims of coercive control and domestic violence, because I've heard their voices. And I think for those women especially, removing only the mandatory element of the 3-day wait, I think is an important step forward, which, by the way, is now something that will be supported by the leaders of Fianna Fáil.
What about the argument, though, that you went? What about the argument you went to the people, and that politicians, TDs, went to the people back in 2018 and said, "Look, we know some of you have concerns. It's a big step, but we have these safeguards in place." And barely was the amendment passed, and we had politicians in the Dáil calling for this to be changed. Is that not? Were the people misled? Were some people misled back in 2018?
Well, listen, Shane, I'm very conscious of the fact that this is a very sensitive issue for many people, and people have lots of different opinions on it, and in fact, very different opinions within the political system and outside the political system. But what was very clear when people voted for the 2018 Act, when people went to the polls, was that built into that was a independent review. And the independent review was to look at whether or not the Act was being implemented in full, and if any barriers to access to care was identified, that they should be dealt with. That did happen. So this isn't my recommendation. This has come from a fully independent examination of the Act.
Yeah, I know, but that person isn't the oracle, though, David. Just because a person made a series of recommendations doesn't mean you have to act it. Again, and I'm playing devil's advocate here. 10,000 women who attended for the first visit in relation to abortion didn't return for a second visit. Since the law has changed. Is that not worthy of consideration? Now, obviously, some of that may have been miscarriages and so on, but even allowing for that, that's a large number of women who changed their mind during that cooling off period. Again, and I'm playing devil's advocate, is that not something that is worthy of taking into consideration?
Well, firstly, I don't believe that the author of the report would see herself as the oracle at all.
Because no, but I wasn't suggesting she does, but she's being cited as the oracle by every politician I've heard.
But, But she isn't, because it was an independent report that was made up of dozens of people who are part of the work that went behind the report. And in fact, there was an engagement with women who access services in a particular point in time, where women were asked to be part of a survey, and many women were. And what they had to do was look at all of the evidence that was before them. There was research that was done by third level institutes. So there was a lot of different elements of that report that fed into what was a complete report that was then obviously published by the author. So it wasn't one individual. It was a very comprehensive, thorough report. And yes, it did throw up challenges for the political system, because some of the other issues which the author has proposed do require very considerable attention. And the issue of, for example, changes to fetal abnormality, what she recommended was that an expert stakeholder group would be established to look at alternative wording. That should be done. And that hasn't happened yet. In relation to the second appointment, and women, maybe some women not availing of the second appointment after having a first appointment, I've engaged with the department on this specifically. And what they have said is that it would be unwise and foolish to make an assumption that in all of those cases, these are women that decided that they had their minds made up, they were having an abortion and then decided not to, that there was lots of reasons why a woman would not have a second appointment. In fact, many women would see the first appointment as an opportunity to have a discussion with their GP and to then weigh up whether or not this was something that they wanted to do. And it's a very, very difficult decision for many women to make. And I finished the point I'm making. I'm very sensitive to the fact that each and every woman has to come at this in their own way, in their own time. I would not want any woman to rush into any decision. I want them to take
other countries. Other countries have waits. Germany has a 3-day wait. I think the Netherlands has a 5-day wait. Like, we're not out of step internationally here in any way.
No, and but I'm making the point over and over, Shane, is that women can still avail of that. But the mandatory element for those who are in difficult circumstances, and I go back to victims of coercive control and domestic violence and rape and sexual assault.
You have made that point.
They are very difficult, hard cases have to be dealt with. And I believe moving and removing the mandatory 3-day wait will resolve many, many anomalies and barriers to access to care for those women.
David Cullinan, Sinn Féin Health Spokesperson, thank you indeed for talking to The Hard Shoulder today.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With Kia.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.